T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After months of speculation, the draft is in the books, so you could read some post-draft analysis on NBA.com with this guy, NBA.com writer Scott Howard Cooper. You could follow him at S. Howard Cooper on Twitter. Scott, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
What's up, Scott? How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Wonderful. I am a Knicks fan, and he's a Net fan, so maybe we're not so wonderful, you know?
What is the ceiling on Frank Ntilikina?
Whatever his name is.
Frank N. Yeah, that's what most people seem to be going with. A lot of people really like him. I think that I had him mocked to go right at 8, so I think that's the perfect range. A young guy, but a teenager at 6'5", with a lot of poise, a lot of court vision, great basketball IQ. He's not. I don't think he's going to step in and have an immediate impact, but there is a tremendous upside there. I know some teams thought that he's a good enough shooter that he could play off the ball on a regular basis. So he's really versatile, really smart, heading in a very good direction.
And, of course, he fits the triangle. That's not you left that out. You left it out now. You got to fit the triangle here, Scott. Come on.
Is that still the plan for the next 100
still
years?
The plan. That's every other word out of the illustrious GM's mouth. Come on. Well, president,
I mean,
whatever he is.
100 years, like he's going to be there that long.
Well, yeah. Thank God. Thank God that's not the case.
You guys falling asleep during workouts.
Yeah.
I don't know
how
much more he wants to do this. I think, and Joe hit on this when we were talking about this earlier, I think the two guys that Knicks fans look at and say, hey, what about Dennis Smith Jr.? What about Malik Monk? Two guys we're probably more familiar with, especially Malik Monk, just watching him playing the NCAA tournament. Do you view Frank as a better prospect than both of those guys? How would you compare Frank to both Smith Jr. and Malik Monk?
I would put him ahead of Dennis Smith. More importantly, it's not what I would do. I think that's the way most teams had it as well. I think the Monk comparison is a little different since they play different positions. I think that Malik Monk is going to have a terrific career. I think that a lot of teams are going to regret letting him slip that long. Certainly concerns over his size for a shooting guard, but he's a terrific athlete, so he compensates for being a little bit small because he can get places back and forth and even up in the air that a lot of other guys can't. I think Malik is going to have a terrific career, but I'm really high on Frank. I think that he's has a chance to be really, really good, that this is a guy. And obviously, we say the same thing with pretty much all the picks, that this is just as we sit here today. And so we're going to have a completely different conversation for a lot of these guys in 3 years. But a lot of front offices out there see a great upside for Frank.
Mm. Do you agree that Fultz should have been a number one pick in the draft? Do you feel he is the top guy in this draft?
Yes. Yeah, and I don't think there's really much of a conversation.
Are you concerned at all? And I brought this up earlier, and maybe it doesn't mean anything. One of the draft guys we talked to, John Rothstein's been concerned about this, that he was on a bad team. They didn't win. And Ben Simmons was on a bad team. I mean, when he was at LSU, I think they went like 17-15, something like that. They weren't in the tournament. Is that ever a warning sign when you look, when you're the best player on a bad team in college and then making the jump to the NBA? A concern at all for you?
No. No, that's not how front offices look at it. It could be a completely different situation, and a guy could be at Kentucky, for example, or North Carolina, and maybe he's averaging 8 points and 6 assists or 6 rebounds or something like that, and they're going to discard that just as fast because they're looking at other aspects. And it is interesting now that it's 2 years in a row
right. That
the number one pick has been a guy that couldn't even get his team to the tournament. I think that's something that fans focus on quite a bit. How good can a guy really be? If he supposedly is the best player in the class, but he can't get his team to the tournament. And I think on some level it's a fair conversation, but the NBA, the front offices, and especially the GM on the spot making that pick, they're looking at a lot of different factors. Was the coach any good? Were the other players any good? If it was a big guy, maybe the problem was there was no point guard that was able to get him the ball. If it's a point guard, maybe the problem was everybody else, he had bad shooters all around him, and he could throw a perfect pass and it's just going to bounce off the guy's chest. So there's all different factors that go into it. It's not just a matter of saying he was putting up numbers on a bad team.
We're talking to Scott Howard Cooper. The Knicks, when they were shopping Porzingis, viewed him as a guy that would have been the number one overall pick in this year's draft. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe not the Chris when he was actually in the draft, because then at that point there was still some uncertainty about him physically and how would he do defensively, and could he really stand up in the mosh pit inside and go for rebounds, and all of those have been answered pretty clearly by now. But at the time, they were fair questions. But the Chris now, certainly, I think, would have been the number one pick in the draft.
Mm. Were you surprised about Jimmy Butler? What did the Bulls think in trading Jimmy Butler and what they got for him to Minnesota? What was your thoughts on that trade?
Not surprised that he was traded. Very surprised at what they did on the deal.
Right. Right.
It sure felt like a panic purchase by the Bulls, and or I guess a panic sale in this case. I don't know why you do that trade. I don't know how that makes sense on any level, just in terms of what you're getting back, but especially since it's June 22nd.
Yeah.
It's not like the guy is you're 10 minutes away from the trade deadline. Your final cycle before he's about to become a free agent, and geez, you know what? We got to just grab something to make sure we don't lose him for nothing. That wasn't the case here, but the Bulls acted like it was. It was, maybe they would make the claim that it was the best offer out there, but I can't believe that it would be the best offer out there once you get to July or August,
and then once you got
to December and January and towards the next trade deadline. I get that you wanted to move on, and obviously the trade they made indicates that they're really anxious to move on, but you don't do a bad trade just to do a trade.
Yeah, and they have no reason to. Like, if that was Paul George, and you kind of mentioned the cycle, I get it more. Paul George has made it clear he's not re-signing. He's going to go to the Lakers. Maybe he doesn't have a great market because of that. Jimmy Butler is signed for 3 more years. What the heck's the urgency?
Right. You're right. Completely different situation. If that was the Pacers making that trade, then you say, yeah, all right, they just need it to be done with it, right?
Right.
They just couldn't have this thing drag on much longer. And certainly the Pacers don't want to go into day one of training camp with the Paul George situation hanging over them. But yeah, that wasn't this. The Bulls acted like they were on the clock. The Bulls acted like they were the Pacers. The Bulls acted like a very inexperienced front office.
Yeah.
And when people ask me what were some of the big surprises of the draft last night, that probably was the one that jumped out to me, is that the Bulls made this move.
You know, last night what I tried to do, I played a game. When the Nets picked at 22, I tried to make believe that the Nets were a playoff team, and that's why I was picking at 22. I was in the playoffs, of course. With that said...
How'd that go?
Oh, it went terrible. It lasted like 30 seconds, and I realized, nah, that didn't happen. We lost 61 games or whatever it was. But they draft Jared Allen. Tell me, should I be happy? Is that a good move by the Brooklyn Nets, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think at that point it's a solid pick. That's probably right about his range. It's not like a guy like Jared's going to come in there and people are going to say, you know, future all-star and anything like that. But once you get into the 20s, you have to start to come with a new perspective that you just want somebody, is he going to be able to develop into a backup? And maybe even with time, will he become a starter? And there is a good starting point for Jared just because he's so big. He's a guy you'll see him when he shows up and when he gets on the court in the fall, he's physically ready to play in the league right now. And so that's a good thing. I think it's hard to complain. It's hard to find fault with that pick at that point.
Give me a guy that is kind of a sleeper that you think is going to really turn out to be a player in this draft.
A sleeper. That's a good one. I like Jonah Bolden in the second round. I thought that he had. I know that some teams were looking at him for very late in the first, so that would have been a possibility. But he ended up at 36, I think it was. He went to the Sixers. Here's an interesting name to really keep an eye on: OG Anunoby. Mm-hmm. I think he's a terrific defender, probably the best perimeter defender in the draft. Can defend a couple different positions, and a guy who I think probably would have gone in the lottery if not for the health concerns, and that is he blew out his knee in January, and he had season-ending surgery. And he told me that he hopes to get back on the court, hopes to get back on the court in October or November and maybe be playing in games by December. So there's obviously the big asterisk that comes with OG. But on talent, I think that this is a guy that has a chance to really make an impact because of his defense.
Interesting. Well, we'll find out. Summer league starts soon. We'll get to see some of these kids on the court. Scott, great talking to you. We appreciate it.
All right, Scott. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.